When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
This is Bless These Braces.
My name is Tam. I'm a writer and a comedian. When I was a teenager, I had a bat mitzvah and a quinceañera. Now, I'm talking to my favorite writers, actors, and comedians about their coming-of-age ceremonies as we remember what it felt like to supposedly become an adult.
I mean, there's a lot of boner-related stuff.
All I wanted was to be popular and cool, and I wasn't at all.
It was just like there was so much happening in my body.
My bar mitzvah, they did it at a deli.
This is Bless These Braces.
Listen to Bless These Braces from Funny or Die on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics, in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
The Nikki Glaser Podcast. Ooh, 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 ooh. The Nikki Glaser Podcast.
Here's Nikki. Hello, here I am. I'm in Los Angeles, California. Welcome to the Nikki Glaser Podcast. It's Tuesday. Hope you enjoyed our all Fanthrax episode yesterday. That was super fun to record. Before we left town last week, we had a big old busy weekend. Touring. I forget where we were now already. Yes. I remember Milwaukee and then Indianapolis. So good to see all the besties there. Such fun shows. I flew to LA on Sunday. Andrew went back to St. Louis. And then Noah came all the way from Arizona to St. Louis to take my spot. And guys, we're switching it around.
No, we're not.
I'm producing now. No, I am not and I can't. Noah is in the host chair. Wait, it was so funny this morning,
no.
Noah, that you were so cute. Andrew had to tell me that you were scared to sit in the chair.
I
wanted to do it from the kitchen.
I wasn't like, scared. I just thought it would look so weird. It would be
right.
Like a Twilight Zone episode of the podcast.
It's fitting, though, for this week. It's a spooky week. Things are scary. Suddenly a barista will be wearing a witch's hat and you'll be reminded that it's Halloween.
Yeah.
Like that's why I get reminded it's Halloween. I'll just see, you know, people at Starbucks wearing like cat ears and I'm like, "Oh yeah, it's that week." Otherwise I forget. How's St. Louis going?
Good. Andrew is hooked on Squid Games and we watched 3 episodes last night even though I said I wouldn't watch it. He's actually in there right now. He took a pause last night so he can talk with Brenna and because I just had to leave and go to sleep.
Wait a second. So first of all, I think you're saying Squid Games.
Oh, Squid Game.
Squid Game.
Yeah.
That's fine. That sounds like the way Andrew probably is saying it too. Also, What took him so long? We need to know because everyone's been watching this. Number two, I do think, how long is this show? How long is it going to take him to get through it? And doesn't he have something better to do with his time? Is this the new golf for him?
Here's the thing, Nikki. So it's in Korean and you have to read the subtitles.
Or you can have it lip dub, I heard.
Yeah, but it's not the same if it's, you know, it's just too weird. But sometimes I catch Andrew looking at his phone. And
of course,
he doesn't
catch.
He's on
his phone the whole time. He doesn't. No, he doesn't. When he says he watches something, he does not watch. I don't even understand how Andrew enjoys entertainment because, or shows that involve. That's why I like The Bachelor and Bachelorette because I can look at my phone and not miss anything. And if I do, I can go back and figure out what happened. But Andrew doesn't do that. He doesn't go back. He's. That's why I'm boggled by how he watches things because I'll. You know, we got into the whole thing about the Ted Lasso episode where there were all these references to romantic comedies that if you didn't know the joke they were making, you would have been like, what the hell is this show doing? You would have been like, I don't trust this show anymore. But he's just blindly proceeds. So I'm sure there's so many times that Andrew just goes, I don't know what's going on. And I wonder if he goes, oh, it's something I missed when I was looking on my phone. Because for me, I cannot stand that. If there's some plot point I miss, I got to go back because I was on my phone. I go back. And that's why I don't watch shows. I have to go back. The morning show the other day, I tried to watch it. I rewound it like 20 times because every time I would just look on my phone and kept missing it. So you know he's missing things because he. And first of all, even if you're looking at your phone and it's not Korean, you still can't hear what they're saying. Like it's not really getting in. But especially if it's Korean. I mean, what is he doing?
But
understanding of the show.
The good thing is because I'm reading the captions and I'm looking at it closely is that it seems like there is no plot. So he's not really missing anything.
I saw one scene as I was watching someone watch it on a plane. That's all I've seen of Squid Game. I understand that it has a lot of like gore and it's really kind of disturbing at times. What have you gleaned from it?
I like the gore aspect of it. Korean horror movies are usually pretty gory in a very good way if you're into that kind of stuff.
Like, what's the gore? What am I going to see on this that's gory in a Korean way that you've seen? Give me an example.
Someone, one of the characters stuck their fingers into this like machinery and their fingers popped.
Popped?
Yeah.
Like their knuckles cracked, like some guy in a meeting.
The fingers got crushed, and there was this like pop sound.
Pop sound. Ooh,
it was really good.
Did they do the English dub of the pop sound?
Yeah, it just said pop across.
There are certain sounds that seem like those would be, you know, worldwide or like they wouldn't change based on what language. Like the sound of a dog barking. We should look it up. The sound people make to say a dog is barking, like ruff, ruff. Like we say ruff, ruff. But like in different languages, it's like aka, aka. Like, it'll be like a totally different sound. But we're all hearing the same thing. We're just saying something different. There's this really great thing on Reddit that I'm going to share later today during Reddit dump of what English speakers sound like to non-English speakers. You know how when we do imitations of a different language, it's like like for like French, but to French people that would sound like gibberish, like it's not anything. But we can make it sound like we're saying something. Like Conan does a really good Armenian impression where he just makes up words and it sounds like he's speaking a language. I'm not really good. I'm not fast on my feet enough to come up with a new language, but it's I'll share it with you later. And it's a song this Italian guy made. To prove that back, I think it was in the 60s, maybe 70s, this guy was an Italian singer, songwriter, pop star in Italy, and he was frustrated that every single song that seemed to be a hit was any song that was English speaking. And he was just frustrated because he's like, these Italians will fall for anything. So I'm just going to make a song that sounds like English. And so it's complete gibberish English, but it sounds like what we would hear if we didn't speak English and we heard someone like talking it, you know? Yeah. And it's so good. You're going to love it.
How is LA?
Yeah. LA is great. Speaking of Squid Game, actually, I was on set yesterday with Jimmy Fallon. He might have been there just visiting a friend. He might have been hosting. He might have been working the craft service table. No one knows. But there was some mention of Squid Game, and I said, I actually haven't even seen it. I had to come clean because I was laughing along like I got the reference, and I didn't. And I go, I haven't actually seen it. And he goes, don't, you don't need to. It's disturbing. And I wish I hadn't seen it. He said, it's one of those things that you are like, my life isn't better because I saw that disturbing thing. And that's why I feel like I think I'm smart to not watch these things because they do. But also I read a lot of grim things, and I'm on Reddit looking at, you know, last images, which is pictures that people post of the last image a picture was taken of a person. And so I'm looking at kind of like morbid things constantly that sometimes make me a little sad and make me have an existential crisis. But in terms of, I guess we are always seeking adrenaline. And I guess Squid Game and these kind of gory moments, hearing fingers pop, give you adrenaline. And like make you feel alive and remind you're alive. I guess I don't understand. You went to a haunted house type thing.
I did.
We just talked about that, and I go, you lied. I thought you said you didn't like them.
I didn't lie. I tried. So I told Avi, he's like, okay, you choose the dinner place, and I tried really hard to choose a place where we would overeat and just get too tired to do it. It didn't work.
Oh my god, that's so funny.
We went to this delicious Mexican.
It was a bed and breakfast.
Well, I was just like, oh, how about we order like two things? I tried ordering like the most fattening thing on the menu so that we would feel tired to try to get him to not
want to go a haunted.
But
hayride. What was it?
It was like three haunted houses. I only did two, and they had cornfields. Do you know how creepy that is? But
yes.
I'm glad I did it.
Okay.
It was terrifying.
Well, why are you glad then? And also, why didn't he eat enough? And why didn't your plan work?
Oh, we ate a lot, but he insisted on going because he loves that stuff.
Oh, so then you're just going and you want to throw up the whole time and you're scared.
Okay, yes. But luckily, the lines for each were so long that I could, you know, like digest. Shake off the nerves. But,
oh, you had to wait in line to go into a corn maze and fucking be scared?
But I was glad.
Honestly, take a haunted house out of it. For me, standing in line for something with the public, for something that is not worth standing in line for. I guess maybe it was. That is a haunted house to me. Okay, wait a second. So why are you better off for having gone through it? Sell me on this.
Okay, so the good thing was that I just got to be scared and I got to scream a lot. And I think that was a big stress reliever for me. I did like how before you go in, the person who like worked the front door or whatever of the haunted house was like, they won't touch you. No touching the actors, no running. And I was like, oh, they don't touch you? Okay, that makes me feel a little bit better.
Yes. Did my ex-boyfriends work there? Was it all people that I've been intimate with and
I said they don't
I always
touch.
Feel like I know that's what I'm saying. I always feel like I wanted to write a joke at one point, I think, about haunted houses and how they always say they can't touch you and how like that's probably my boyfriend probably works at one of those and he's just like he's just
funny.
he can't leave work at work. He takes it home with him and he doesn't feel comfortable touching because it's just not what he does at work. And so that put you at ease that they didn't touch you.
Yes. Okay. I also like that I just got to be like a damsel in distress.
And Avi got to protect you.
I got to like clamp onto his arm. I got to like cute. Make him go ahead of me.
Oh, it's kind of a cute first date idea because it creates a space for intimacy that you otherwise wouldn't. You know, touching someone or grabbing onto them or getting really close to them is something that happens usually after you've, you know, had a couple drinks or something. It's a way to force that kind of closeness.
Yeah.
That's always what is so difficult about dating, I think, and like the first move of like who's gonna touch who. That's why I've come up with the whole thing of like if you're next to someone and your arms are barely touching. If you leave it, that's a sign a girl likes you. Like if it's barely imperceptible that you're touching and she leaves it, because she could move it away and it wouldn't be like offensive, like get away. But she could just move like a millimeter and it would make it so you guys weren't touching. But if she leaves it, she likes you. But those, that's so hard to do, to get to a place where you either have to smush in the back of a car or like there has to be something that gets you really close to touch. Otherwise, or as you know, there's no need to really like bundle with each other. But yeah, a haunted house, that's a good idea. Okay, maybe I'm sold on it.
Yeah. Also, I thought of you because when we were in the cornfield, there was like reenactments of like horror movies, and one of them was Leatherface. And there's a Leatherface character like standing in the way. And every time
Leatherface reminded you of me?
No, not that.
Just kidding.
Not that. So I just start laughing and he keeps blocking my way, and I start laughing and he goes, "Why are you laughing at me?" So I thought about about how you say that when we're nervous, we start laughing to show our canines. And I was like, he can't see my canines.
You're like scaring him. Because I'm laughing because I'm more scared. Like, but why are you laughing at me is so funny. He went home that day and was like, I couldn't bring it today. This girl wouldn't stop laughing at me. And what is Leatherface? Is that the, like...
It's from the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. It's the character that chopped everybody up.
I'm picturing Michael Myers for some reason. What's the difference between their masks?
Oh,
you know, Michael Myers has the white mask. Yes. I guess his has a little bit more, like, patches to it and, like, looks a little more disheveled.
Leatherface, it kind of looks like a burlap sack, but the leather is made of human skin.
Oh, the way that you said that is just as darling as sometimes I like to just divide it with my nose. Okay, so speaking of face and leather faces, I have become obsessed with a thing called Face Gym here in Los Angeles. So I got into town on Sunday. I flew in from Indy, took a really early morning flight, got in here super early because you lose 3 hours. And my hotel, I wasn't able to check in. And so I'm like so tired. All I want to do is just like crawl into a bed and die. And they're like, I get there at 10 and they're like, the room's not gonna be ready till 3. I'm like, can I buy a room? I was like, can I buy a room from yesterday to have it so I can sleep until checkout today at noon, like 2 hours. That's how desperate I was for sleep. And they were like, sorry, it's full. So I go, I don't know what I'm going to do. And I just walk out into the world and I'm just sad and tired. And I stumble upon this place called Face Gym, which I've been to in New York ages ago. I think they offered me like a free session because, you know, as someone DM'd me and I go, okay, I'll do it. And I wasn't crazy about it when I went in New York, but I went into this place because I'm like, I got time to kill. A face massage seems good. A kind of a facial. I don't like facials anymore. Honestly, I don't like extractions. They tend to disrupt my skin and make me like my skin purge and it like gets all. I just have a really, my skin has been never better because I haven't had a fucking facial in 2 years and it's never, my skin's never looked better. So what are you gonna, there you go. But I remember this place isn't an invasive. They're not squeezing your skin. And it's costly though, dude. You walk in. It's called Face Gym. And they're like, hey, what's up? And the music is like, punch, 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 punch. Oh, yeah. You know, it's like Equinox music. And it's really bright. And all the chairs are, it's almost like you're at a salon. So it's all, you know, chairs next to each other. And you lay back in this chair. And there's a mirror in front of you. And like bars on the mirror, like you're at a bar class. But the bars don't serve any purpose. I was like, can I put my feet in these? And they're like, no. So they talk to me. They're like, what would you like to do for your workout today? And I'm like, let's drop the workout. Like, this just, can I talk normally? I don't want to have to do your whole thing. Like, this isn't a workout for your face. You're laying in a chair. I want this to be relaxing. And I'm like, I don't know. What do you recommend? And the prices are crazy, dude. Like, you know, it starts out, I think, $95 for their, like, basic. And then it goes to a deep clean. It's like $195, and then it's like the cryotherapy, which is like a deep hydrating. It's like $235. So it's like, it ain't cheap. I want to say that if you can't afford it, I really recommend it. There's a girl in West Hollywood location. If you're in LA, the West Hollywood location, Haley, Don't take a risk with anyone else. I'm not even kidding you. I don't even know who else works there. Maybe Haley's not even the best. But to me, I had a White Lotus moment with her where I was like Jennifer Coolidge's character, where I was like, you're amazing. And like, I think you should start a salon with me in St. Louis. Like, I was ready to recruit this woman. I am obsessed with her. And so I went in on Sunday and I got the cryo. What they do is they massage your face, which I need this in my life. Face massage is so underrated. The deep cleaning thing where they do all the other stuff to your face. It feels like your face is going in a car wash, and then it's just, my face has never looked better, but they do this thing where they put a ball on your face and they roll the muscles. And I hate stretching my face. Y'all know that that's why I won't go skydiving or play with my niece and make funny faces, because I don't want to stretch out my skin on my face. I do not go like, I'll never do that. I'll never go like, ooh, and pull down my skin ever. When I sleep on my face, I like sleep so it's like up. Like I pull it like up. And so I was reluctant to have someone like tug on my face and like massage it. But oh my God, Noah, she got in these like knots on my jaw and was just, and did hard pressure. Dude, it was transcendent. And not to mention, the music is still like, pooch, 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 pooch. We're gonna rock you. Oh. And I'm just like, this is not relaxing at all in terms of the music, but I went to another dimension. And this face massage, it was so complete. There was every little nook and cranny she got in. I was so happy. And then at the end of it, I mean, I went to dinner with Carlisle hours later, and she was like, you look like a child. Like, my face was just so just bright and shiny and hydrated. It was awesome. I'm literally thinking about getting a franchise in St. Louis so I can go regularly. I'm not kidding you. I need this. Or creating some version of facial massage, because the thing is, if anyone out there listening knows where I can get a face massage in St. Louis, Missouri, let me know, because I don't know that it's a thing and I need it. Anyway, it was so good. I went to her yesterday. So got in Sunday, went to her that day. Then yesterday, I was done with my shoot. Oh, man, I shot so early in the morning. 7 o'clock call time to get in my car. That means I had to be in hair and makeup at 5.
Oof.
Got there, did the show, done by 12:30. So much fun doing it again today. But I went to her. And Noah, she, like, didn't remember me. I walked in because I was like, hi, Haley, because I called. And I was like, I want whoever I had yesterday. And I even told her, I was like, I'm coming back tomorrow. And she was like, great. So then I showed up again. She did not know who I was, didn't care. You know, like, I don't think recognized me or anything like that. Doesn't matter. I don't even think about those things. I really don't. But I go, Haley, what did I do yesterday? Because I think I wanted to. And she goes, I don't, like, let me check. Like, I was like hurt that she didn't remember like the specific thing.
You're just
that
another
we had
face.
I'm just another fucking face. And it reminded me of the fact that when I meet people or do shows or have a lot of times I'll do shows, you know, and I'll get flown in for like a private event, and I'll stay at a hotel, and I'll go to like a dinner, and I'll do the show, and I'll be at a club all weekend long. I don't remember anything about the club. I don't remember how to get to the green room. I don't remember. And I always want to tell these people, like, I do this every single day. If I remembered it at all, I'd be Einstein. I don't have the bandwidth for that, you know? And I have to have the, you know, Bare Naked Ladies rap to Chickadee China, the Chinese chicken, you have a drum. That is in my head and taking up space, so I can't remember your face or what I did at the Dallas Hyenas. But this girl didn't remember me, and it was a good reminder that when we feel special, when there's, like, White Lotus, you know, the guy that makes everyone at the hotel feel so special, the one, and he's, it's all bullshit, you guys, like, it's rare to find someone that you actually make an impression on in customer service, even if you think you have like a really genuine moment. Because I swear to God, I thought this woman was like, I was like Jennifer Coolidge, and this woman was, because at the very beginning, they kind of do this over your chest and like touch your like very top of your boobs. Oh my God. I was
so good.
I think I was a little bit gay for this girl, because her touch was just so amazing. And she gently like stroked the top of my boobs, and I'm like ovulating right now. So my boobs are so sensitive. And I was just like, kind of, I wasn't horny for it, but just made me feel so good. And again, I'm questioning everything, but I'm obsessed with face massage. Let's get Andrew in here. Andrew!
This is Bless These Braces.
My name is Tam. I'm a writer and a comedian. When I was a teenager, I had a bat mitzvah and a quinceañera. Now, I'm talking to my favorite writers, actors, and comedians about their coming-of-age ceremonies as we remember what it felt like to supposedly become an adult.
I mean, there's a lot of boner-related stuff.
All I wanted was to be popular and cool, and I wasn't at all.
It was just like there was so much happening in my body.
My bar mitzvah, they did it at a deli.
This is Bless These Braces.
Listen to Bless These Braces from Funny or Die on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if... No. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Andrew.
What's going on?
I mean, I know what's going on in your world. How'd you sleep last night? Or did you sleep because you're watching Squid Game?
Oh.
Constantly.
I guess the cat's out of the bag.
Out of the shell.
Shelling up. I can't even do anything without Noah talking about our business.
I mean, she says all you've been doing is watching Squid Game. She can't pry you from it.
First of all, she watched 4 episodes with me last night.
Right.
We had pho, or I had pho. Or fa.
Fa.
Fuck you.
I love how you got hit wrong. You fa. You're just singing the you know, scale.
Fa so li to mi so fo.
Yeah.
It was the first time we got fa fo, and it was delicious. Noah got some kind of egg roll thing, and we watched Squid.
Boon.
I didn't even think that Squid Games was Asian. Had nothing to do with one another.
Squid Game is Korean, I believe, and pho is Vietnamese.
Yes, so it has...
No, nothing to do with each other.
I don't want to be canceled for going Asian on Asian.
Well, you did start it out like it was some kind of like, oh, we did a theme night.
I was wearing a gi, and
okay.
I did have a triangle hat on, but it had nothing... to do.
Andrew.
I'm telling Andrew. You, though.
Okay, I'm getting it. Like, I'm sure you... Yeah, were you in your little robe?
I was. I did have a dragon...
You're a brown belt, right? Because it your robe belt just fell in the toilet one time. Brown tip belt?
I did have a dragon kite following me around the apartment.
Okay, enough. Let's move on.
It wasn't related.
I get it. Well, we get your joke. It's so funny. Okay, so you could keep going forever. I mean, just naming other things. It's a cool premise.
I drive a Toyota.
Okay.
That is completely separate, though, from all of
it. All right. But what are your thoughts on Squid Game, and why did it take you so long to get into Squid Game, and why now? And,
I think one, the subtitles, having to read, you know me, I'm not a big reader, so I know
I hear you're looking at your phone a lot and missing entire, like, you can't even.
What is going on here?
Well, we know how you watch TV.
I like to paint the full picture.
Well, yeah.
So if you, but Andrew, I do have a question for you. When you miss a big part of a TV show and then, because, you know, this happens to me all the time when I'm watching stuff. I go back and rewatch the thing I missed. I don't think you do that. I think you just keep on plowing through.
I keep plowing and eventually I'll catch up.
And then you say you saw it.
I'll plow on. I'll catch up. I mean, I can put my brain together. I know what happened. I can miss a whole episode and know exactly what's going on.
I don't think you can. I think you miss things. And then, because I'll reference things sometimes and you're like, I don't know that. I'm like, that is a huge plot point where you were watching a TikTok about how to get your fade.
You know what? You're on your phone when we watch things.
I can't even talk to you.
You're listening to White Noise, which is a radio show. Every morning, I can't talk to you.
Yeah,
I'll talk.
What does that have to do with anything? This is almost like the beginning of this, where you were just naming different Eastern culture things. What does me having listening to a radio show where I don't want to talk? Like I'm choosing to. I'm not trying to have a conversation and do that. I'm.
Oh, you're like, not. I'm in the room with you.
But I have it on my headphones a lot of times, or you weren't in the room when I was listening to it on speaker, and then you walk in and start talking to me, and then I turn it down so I can hear you, and then I turn it back up when you're done talking.
You go, what?
I will say that when I've been trying to watch Chappelle's special for so long now, and I cannot, it's too slow for me, and when I put it on the TV, I can't do double the speed. So I just get so distracted and I have to rewatch. I had to rewatch one story of his 20 times. I'm still not through it. And it's just the story of him being followed in the mall by that woman. Like it's not that long of a story. And I cannot get through it because I look down at my phone and I get distracted. But I go back. Because I don't want to miss something.
Here's the thing. Last night I was falling asleep to, I believe, episode 6. I was kind of going in and out. And so this morning I turned on episode 6. I watched what I watched last night, and I did catch up. I did fill in some gaps that might have been there from sleeping. But right. if I miss something from watching my phone, I mean, that's like a, you know, you, I'll watch my phone while I drive for an hour and a half. I'll get there. I get there.
Are you supposed to say that?
Probably not.
That's, I mean, I feel like everyone just is half watching things now.
I do
when
it
you
too.
Say you watch something, you just, you can't trust. Even my parents don't really, my mom's always on her phone, but my dad will fall asleep. And I talked about White Lotus to them. And they were nearly done with the show. And they were like, yeah, we started it. And I go, oh, well, there's this, like, you know, I referenced something that happens at the end that wasn't a spoiler. And they go, oh, yeah, we saw that. I'm like, you saw the whole show, but you don't remember because you fell asleep. I'm someone who I can't deal with that.
I tried watching.
I need to go back.
I remember from my childhood that movie Dune, which. Is like
they just brought it back.
They
right?
brought Isn't it back Timothy with Chalamet and Zendaya, and I was like, you know what? I'm gonna sit there. I know this is gonna be slow. I know it's gonna be kind of weird and like scientific and whatever. I lasted honestly 4 minutes tops.
Yeah.
They started talking in like a weird voice of "We have to get this back," and I'm done. I don't need this. Squid Games is unbelievable.
Slow thing. Well, tell me why.
It's just it, dude. I almost started crying in the last episode. It was
the last episode or the last one you watched.
The last one I watched. Mm. There's an old man in the show. I'm not gonna give away anything, but he is the most.
I'm never gonna watch it. I'm never gonna watch it because I don't watch things unless I have a partner to watch them with. And my last one just watched it.
Oh, Well.
You.
Yeah. Well, I'm not done.
You're the only one I knew that didn't watch it. No, there's no catch. I can't catch up. I can't watch anything alone.
I just never thought that you would want to watch this. So.
Well, is it as gory and scary and finger poppy as you?
It's gory. You see a lot of death, but it's not. Okay. It's not like scary death. It's like
running. Is it like jump scares?
Not really.
Not really.
Have you seen Running Man, the movie?
No.
Back in the day?
Oh. No.
Well, anyways, it has a lot of heart. It really does. Mm-hmm. And the main character, there's a lot of main characters, but the first episode, this guy, he's downtrodden. He's a gambler. He's not there for his daughter. He's in debt. And he plays this
character. Sounds like a guy you relate to.
He's the best actor I think I might have ever seen. He's like a dumb dog in it. He's just like, ooh, ooh. Like, and it's unbelievable. He's unbelievable. It's crazy how good of an actor this guy is. Like, he emotes so much on the screen. I don't
know. Who's like your favorite? I feel like I don't. Some people that think there are actors that are good, I disagree with them so much. Like, I think acting and what you think is good and what it's not, it's totally subjective because some people are like, they're the best actor. And I'm like, I just see them acting or I don't know. I just, it's hard.
Who's your
for
favorite
me.
Actor? Favorite actor?
I mean, probably
Actress.
Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks. Okay.
Yeah. Like, I feel like Tom Hanks really does get me there. And I feel like he is those characters. Like, he's like, even though I know he's acting, I forget he's acting, which is, you know, something that it's hard for me to do in a lot of stuff. And then I do think, you know, I'm watching The Morning Show and the girl, Hannah Schoenberg from the first season.
Yeah.
I think she's one of the best actresses I've ever seen. I thought she really was incredible and I was sad to see.
Wait, did you watch the second season?
No.
Oh, it's on.
She back, baby?
I don't think she can come back
from what happened. I thought she might, though, because I started watching. I thought what I thought was second season I was starting. This is like, again, I forget what I watched. I watched the last episode of the first season, you know, months ago.
Yes.
And I started up second season, but it started the last episode of the first season. I didn't know. And I'm watching it like it's new. And there's nothing about it that's reminds me of anything I've seen before. And then she's there and I go, did she come back from the dead? Is this a flashback? What's happening? Spoiler alert. And and then I realized I was watching the last episode.
I saw a tweet. Someone watched Succession, the first, just put it on automatically, but it was the first episode of the show. And they were like, I thought it was all flashbacks. Like, I thought third season, first episode.
This is why we're not paying attention when we watch things
anymore.
Okay,
but this is my point, though. Squid Games, You don't need a Tom Hanks. You don't need, a Leonardo DiCaprio. You don't know who anyone is. And that's why it's so great. Like, you're just starting with a nice, clean palette. And I love shows like that.
I watch things because, I mean, I guess Morning Show I did watch because Jennifer Aniston is in it. And I just like her and Steve Carell. So you know it's going to be good. But I feel like most of the time I'm motivated to watch something. It's not because the actor in it is someone I want to see do something.
I think that's getting less and less. I mean, I think the idea of like, I guess I put on Dune because of Chalamet fucking that peach, but it still didn't do anything for me.
Right. You know, I think what matters is critical acclaim is like people is the cultural phenomenon. For me, wanting to be moved by something to the point where I'm like thinking about it all the time. I love art that does that for me. And like when something like Squid Game for sure is this thing that just took over the conversation immediately, like Tiger King, you know,
It's the Island Boys of Netflix.
It was huge.
Yes.
But I know that it had so much gore in it and that it is also something that causes a lot of anxiety and it's like an anxious-y type show. Yes. And I'm going to pass, but I'm also going to talk to my friends who have seen it to get enough cultural references that I can slide it into jokes in the future or, you know, understand, you know, jokes being made about it enough to like fit in with people and be able to talk about it at the cool table. But
yeah, I mean, look, I think
I don't need to watch it.
The old man in it is the most human character you'll ever see on a TV show, I think.
Okay.
It just,
there's something about this that's striking a chord for you. And I'm interested to know what is so emotional about this for you. I think you relate to the character or something.
A lot of it is sacrificing yourself for others, which may be something I try to do, but I probably am not good at. And I see it of giving up your life for another. I can't even imagine that.
Yeah, sacrificing yourself for others or like doing something for others. I mean, it's just, I think, the more, and I've talked about this so much, but the more I get outside of myself and stop doing things selfishly and actually try to do something for someone else that's self-sacrificing in terms of my time or my money or whatever, it's just, it never ceases to make me feel better and to feel it in not a selfish way and not a way that I'm like, I get to tell everyone I did this good thing, but just genuinely makes you feel good. And I wish that was, I want more people to understand that. So when you realize, when you give and you are donate to places or you give an extra tip to someone or you just do nice things for people, that it makes you feel better too. Then the thing that's preventing you from doing those things is because we're all so selfish, but essentially you could do this thing that's going to make you feel a lot better. And I just wish people knew that. I didn't know that. You know,
like,
I always
don't
knew
look
volunteering
at your phone when you watch the show. Do it for them, you know?
What do you mean?
Like, no, I'm saying, like, we're all so self-centered. Like, we look at our phone when we're watching. Like, maybe don't look at your phone for the whole show.
That's not what I'm talking about at all.
Yeah.
I'm just talking about literally
altruism.
Doing something that doesn't get you any kind of brownie points with your friend. Like, not anonymous donations. Doing something that you're not going to brag about to people. Mm-hmm. That you're just doing to help someone else. And you don't even need a thank you from them. And being in a place where you could actually be there and not, I feel like I know so few people who do that, and including myself. Like, even when I put a tip in at Starbucks, I want them to thank me. And when I do nice things, I want, sometimes I've gotten to a better place with it where I don't need thank yous and things like that. But, there is something that you want, some sort of validation, but being able to do things without the validation is so key to my self-esteem and self-worth. And I just didn't know that. I didn't know that that was a way to get out of depression. And that depression, because it seems so like you hate yourself. Like, why would that be selfish to be depressed? And I don't mean to make people who are depressed feel bad about it or like you're so selfish, but that's not what I'm saying. Because the worst thing to do is feel worse when you're depressed about like, oh, now I'm going to feel selfish that I'm depressed. Great, Nikki. But it's like, no, it is a selfish act to be depressed. You're obsessed with like, I'm bad. I'm worthless. No one likes me. I don't deserve to be alive. And I'm not trying to make that like I'm not trying to make it a moral issue if you're a bad person to feel that way, but I never thought of depression as selfish. If anything, I thought it was like, you hate yourself, so you, how could that be selfish? So the antidote to being selfish is to get out of yourself and do something for other people that has nothing to do with you. And I wish more rich people would do that, because rich people are depressed as fuck and they have something to actually give, even if they don't have the time to volunteer or whatever. I used to always think that I don't have time to volunteer and I don't want to. I don't want to, I always thought that people that volunteering and helping at Goodwill or soup kitchens, they wanted to do it. Like they have some chip in them that makes them want to do it. And it's like, no, they know that it makes them feel better. Not because of the likes they get by posting it on social media, but like, you know, the ones that just do it to do it. They know that it is makes their themselves better, thus making the world a better place for their family and friends. I don't know. There's so much like greed that I don't know. I just want people to be kinder. And I came up with a new mantra because Carlisle has this book called Healing Yourself, Healing from Within. What's it called? I forget. It's lying around here somewhere. I'll get the name of it. But it's mantras for every physical ailment that you can use to like heal what you're going through. And she found in the back of the glossary, it says canker sores. And it's canker sores are related to having shame and feeling like you can't say what you want to say. And like, I so relate to that. Like all of my ailments are always in my throat and in my mouth. And it's always related to, I feel like I'm not speaking my truth. And obviously I'm someone that speaks the truth, but like there's just something backed up there recently. And so she gave me the mantra and it was, I create joyful experiences for my loving world. And so yesterday I meditated and all I said was, I create joyful experiences for my loving world. I create joyful experiences for my loving world. And the truth is, that's my goal in life. That's all I want to do. And so I'm like, what if every decision I made was filtered through that? I already failed today because I had admonished Andrew for being racist this morning and it probably made him feel bad. So that wasn't creating a joyful experience for my loving world.
Yeah.
So I fail here and there, but if I do filter everything through that, life could be pretty sweet.
Wow.
because that is like my goal, because she read one that was like near the canker sores because her boyfriend.
Does she have any for anal fissures?
Honestly, I'm not even joking you.
Can you look it up, please? I really would love that mantra because my asshole's been killing.
Let me see if I can find the book. I'm at her place right now.
Yeah, for some reason, flying hurts my asshole. I think maybe I get dehydrated up there.
Yeah,
or maybe my asshole tightens up the higher the altitude.
Right, like the pressure changes, for sure.
I wonder if a lot of pilots deal with assholes that hurt. I could never be an F-15 pilot.
All right, I don't think that. Literally, she has every other self-help book alive. There's a book called How to Be Alone. There's a book called The Power of Habit. There's a book called 10 Days to Self-Esteem. These are all books that are propping up the laptop right now. But
I thought
they
were Matthew McConaughey movies.
Let me see where that book is.
Yeah.
Where is the healing book? Yeah. She's out
I
right
mean,
now.
I was talking to Noah about how flying hurts my butthole. And I wonder if it's connected. Maybe I sit down longer than usual.
I think
the
all
pressure.
These ailments are mental.
Yeah. They really, I mean, it's.
It's a physical thing that is like compounded by the mental stress. And
oh,
that's
for
where
sure.
You're like,
yeah.
Yeah, your brain goes down there and like fucking.
My asshole always hurts more on the weekend when I'm like just stressed. Like, even though I don't feel stressed, but obviously it's somewhere, you know, I want to do a good job, whatever, you know, tension or, you know, things are when you're traveling, everything's heightened. And I think my asshole pain gets heightened. I think it's connected. It's correlated. It's interesting.
Too bad your like height can't get heightened.
I try. I'll wear your heels, but my calves hurt. It all adds up.
Hold on. She told me it's behind me on a bookshelf. One
second. Oh. I bet you the mantra is just like, don't
it's
fly.
It's called, you can heal your life. All right. Let's look up anal fissures. Oh, my God. There's literally everything in here. Okay. Anal fissures. Okay.
I think it's fissures.
Not in here, but I'll look up fissures. Okay.
I guess we could do hemorrhoids. It's close enough. Hemorrhoids.
Fistula? No, okay, hemorrhoids, which you know are hemorrhoids, right? Not ham. Can you spell hemorrhoids for us real quick?
H-A-M.
Nope.
I know, right, it's so H-E-M-M-O.
No, H-E-M-O-R-R-H-O-I-D-S. Okay, 175 and 211. Let's get to this. 175.
Yeah. It's like hemorrhoids.
Yeah, hemorrhoids.
Okay, 175. Here we go.
Is that a hemi?
No, it's okay, a hemorrhoids.
All
this
right.
is actually interesting. Okay,
it's
hemorrhoids.
Close enough, but I don't know if it's going
to
do the trick.
Fear of deadlines, anger of the past, afraid to let go, feeling burdened. Okay, so your mantra is, I release all that is unlike love. There is time and space for everything I want to do. Again.
That's long.
I release all that is unlike love. There is
I release
time
all that is unlike love.
There is time and space for everything I want to do.
There's time and space for everything I want to do.
Okay, Noah, hit me with something you've been struggling with.
Neck pains.
Neck pains. Neck pains. All right. Let's go to, oh my God, they have everything in here. This is cool. Neck problems.
Fisher.
Okay. Refusing to see other sides of a question. Stubbornness. Inflexibility. Okay, and this is your mantra. It is with flexibility and ease that I see all sides of an issue. There are endless ways of doing things and seeing things. I am safe. I know it's a long one, but that's one that you can like write a bunch, you know, like you could almost do like a Bart Simpson beginning of Simpsons where you write it
on
over and over. So I'm sending these to both of you right now.
I just got
this
it.
This book
Thank
again
you.
Is called You Can Heal Your Life by Louise Hay. Oh, Louise Hay is like a guru of this.
Oh, I've nice. Heard Heartburn's right here too.
Yeah, dude. What's heartburn?
Heartburn is I breathe freely and fully. I am safe. I trust the process of life.
Whoa, that's you, dude.
I love how all of this is like go with the flow.
Yeah.
With the flow.
Dude, I'm into this shit. I'm into like letting go, forgiving yourself. Forgiving yourself is, I think, the biggest lesson I've learned over the past year and a half is like being able to be okay with whatever you do and being like, so many people were talking about the Alec Baldwin thing real quick and then we'll get to the news.
Okay.
And this is all say on it, except, you know, obviously the how horrible it was. And I just unbelievable it is like it truly feels like something that would happen in a fever dream, like a news alert that would show up on your phone in a dream.
Are you talking about his last movie?
So, well, probably is going to be. it's good. Someone was saying to me, like, if you were him, you would never be you would never be able to forgive yourself. You would never be able to, your life would be ruined forever. Or like, let's say if you accidentally killed someone in any way, and even if it was your fault, say you're texting or driving, whatever, like you could never forgive yourself. I truly believe I could. And maybe that makes me crazy, but it's not like I want to do that. I feel like I could forgive someone who took the life accidentally of a family member of mine or a loved one, like I could or even my own, if there's an afterlife. And I saw this guy get sentenced to 25 years in prison for speeding. He was going 102. He's a child speeding in Florida in a drag race. And he killed this woman. And I was thinking, if I were that woman, I would not want this guy to go away for 25 years. Like it's, I don't know. That's a separate issue. And I don't want to get DMs about it and being like, you're such a monster. But I hope Alec Baldwin can forgive himself. I hope he can have a good life after this and that he doesn't suffer the rest of his life with just immense guilt, crouching on the street, crying. Like, I hope he can smile again someday and that we don't make him out to be a villain for being able to have a happy life again. He didn't mean to. He wouldn't choose to do that.
I saw.
And maybe
maybe
there's some world in which he did something wrong by even pointing the gun at someone. You know, like maybe there's something he did wrong in that scenario. Even then, I hope he can forgive himself someday. I hope that AD can forgive himself someday. I hope, you know, I'm not saying what they did was okay and like we should just let it go. What I'm saying is I just think that I could forgive anything if the person truly didn't mean to do it. And even in cases where they did mean to do it, because I don't think people actually choose to what their brain wants them to do. But
I saw this powerful video of this murder. This guy murdered the guy's son. And
I love that video.
Holy shit. The father of the son who was murdered forgives the guy in front of the whole courtroom.
That's the only way to get closure.
Oh, the chills in it was like wild. But like, I do think unfortunately the woman that was killed, if her family was able to forgive him, it might, I don't know. I haven't done any research on like,
I think that even if they didn't forgive me, I could learn to forgive myself. And I hope that his forgiveness of himself is not dependent on their forgiveness. Cause it isn't, it honestly isn't, but
I know, I'm just saying it helps. I mean,
I think it can go all the way down to like forgiving yourself for, I mean, this comes down to body image stuff. Like I was only able to arrive at this kind of like blanket forgiveness because I struggled so much with like, I hating myself. I'm such a messy person. I am sometimes mean to my friends. Why is my spray tan is so disgusting. I look dirty all the time. I have bags under my eyes because I didn't sleep right when I should have slept. I should have gotten my roots done. And I just like, every day I just have to remind myself, like, you didn't mean to look this way today. You didn't want to be mean to your friend. You didn't check a box and go, in an hour, I'm going to be mean to Andrew. I can't wait. It just happens. You can forgive yourself. You can make amends and you can try your, you can
so do if you what murder you can. Me, you murder me, how long are you mourning? I mean, are we talking a day? 3 weeks?
Well, if I murder you, I'm probably not going to mourn because I'm like insane. And I'm probably like, yeah, finally. Okay, let's get to the news.
No answer. You plead in the fifth.
We'll be right back.
Where are you going?
He's going to grab something, he said.
Oh, interesting. Fissure. Oh, I know what he's grabbing.
What is he grabbing? Just what do you kidding. Predict?
Did he get my mom to record it? Did he call my mom? Because if it's doing just kidding, I don't think that's going to cut it. I have a feeling he over speakerphone. He got my mom to do just kidding. That's my guess.
Wow.
That's my guess. But he doesn't know that I just predicted that because he doesn't have his headphones on.
He doesn't know.
All right. I'm excited for what you just got. Okay. Let's
news.
Get into it.
You heard it here first. You heard it here first. Yeah, you heard it here first.
It is Tuesday. You know what that means, folks. It's Tuesday. And boy, are we having a great time here, aren't we?
That's the best she could do.
I called.
I mean, while you were gone, I said, let me guess. He called her on speakerphone and recorded it.
She made me repeat it, too. She's such a glazer.
No, even though she, what do you
she
mean?
Didn't
like
she made
first
you repeat
take.
It.
Yeah,
she didn't like
it,
the
well,
first
the second take was bad, too. She goes, just kidding. It's just kidding.
Are you telling your mom how she does her own voice?
Yeah, because she's trying too hard in that one. We'll get a better one later in person. But
well, I
but
hope you're having all the
thoughtful.
Swells out there. I'll tell you that.
Just kidding.
No, but I really...
Okay, I kind of like it now. Okay, I apologize, and I've forgiven you.
Hey, I had to order that on Amazon.
Listen, I know as soon as I realize later in the day, I go, I didn't thank Andrew for ordering that thing, but... were you waiting for me to thank you for that?
No,
honestly?
Not at all.
Honestly,
what are you, no. What
okay.
Are you crazy.
I
no.
feel like. Okay.
All right. The National Confectioners Association. Whatever that means. Says 80% of Americans say they enjoy eating candy corn on Halloween. Of that number, 52% say they eat it one piece at a time.
What?
Candy corn, for some reason...
What does that mean, one piece at a time? Who's eating handfuls of candy corn?
Oh, yeah,
and
that's
why
wild.
Is that even a part of the question? And how do you eat your candy corn?
Well, here's the thing. I'll go, at least as a kid, I would bite the little white part off at the bottom first. Chew that up.
Uh-huh.
And then get to the... I would then eat the gold and then get to the very little tip.
I'm guessing none of it tastes any different than the other parts.
I was a fan of candy corn. Now, here's the thing. You eat 15, fantastic. You eat 40, you feel the worst you've ever felt in your life.
Yeah, it's just a sugar bomb. And it's waxy, and it's just filling. Yeah, candy corn is a very polarizing confection. I like it. I don't eat candy anymore, but man, I wouldn't have, I liked candy corn. It's, you know, it's not up there with the, conversation hearts around Valentine's Day in terms of holiday themed candy, but candy corn is not terrible, but it is not the first candy I would ever go to. And I think it doesn't even break my top 100 candies.
You want to know how I know candy corn isn't great?
Huh?
You don't fucking eat it any other week of the year. Like, it's the same reason why we don't eat Thanksgiving. Even Thanksgiving meal is better than candy corn. But if it was so great, we would do it more than once. That's my thing. When have you bought candy corn outside of October?
No. I'm talking about Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving might have been a bad analogy, but
you're probably right. But I think Thanksgiving is delicious. Why do we wait? But why don't we do Christmas a bunch? Because that also feels good to like give a ton of toys and stuff.
I guess it feels good because we do it once a year. And
yeah,
but
yeah,
I just
candy corn. No one's jonesing for that taste.
But people are doing Snickers all year. My point is, we do all this other Halloween candy year round, but candy corn, we keep it there. Valentine hearts, we keep it there.
Ugh,
there's got to be a reason.
Talking about candy corn is making me feel nauseous.
Yeah, same.
It's gross.
Would you rather have baby corn or candy corn? I hate baby corn. It scares me.
That little, like the little corn that isn't corn, like the thing in Tom Hanks and Big goes.
Yeah, what is it?
It's not actual corn. It's a vegetable in and of itself. But it looks like corn.
Did you notice?
What? Sorry, I was looking at something for the show.
Is little corn, baby corn, not corn?
Wait, it's not?
I don't think so.
Just kidding.
No, I really do think. Wait, is baby corn corn? Is baby corn corn?
I never eat baby corn. Baby it corn, freaks corn. Me out.
This is the day
we all learn. Baby corn comes from regular corn. Okay, it can come from any number of kinds of varieties, but it's just picked at a much earlier stage. Oh, never mind. Okay. For some reason, I heard that it wasn't corn. Sorry. Wait a second. It says, the adorable mystery of where baby corn comes from is officially solved. Unlike baby carrots, these miniatures really deserve their name. Okay, so they are baby corn, but baby carrots are actually just carrots cut down to baby size.
Okay.
Yes.
So wait... All right, so why don't we... I know this isn't a joke.
It's an immature ear of corn.
A what?
It's an immature ear of corn. So okay. It laughs at fart jokes.
Why not a corn in between that big-ass corn and the baby corn? Like, I've never seen a teenager corn. A tween corn. I'm saying, though, that would be nice, wouldn't it? I'm saying, yeah, I like a scrumptious corn, boy. Yeah, I like getting in there.
But it's you know, with a big corn, you can't eat the inside. But a baby corn, you can plow through that inside. So maybe a teenager corn would just be so weirdly in between the two that it would be like some people eat apples with like the whole core.
Ugh.
You know, they eat it from the top. Like they twist off the thing and just go, huh, and then spit out the seeds.
Some people eat the outside of a banana.
Yeah, well, wait till the finale of Squid Game. You'll see. All right. Next story.
All right. A woman makes utter butter out of her own breast milk.
Gross.
And says her husband loves it. To me, it tastes like, you know, when you burp and it kind of tastes like throw up. She said of her mammary margarine. Ew!
What the fuck?
Ew!
Guys, I almost started throwing up. This is baby corn. This is a candy corn. The nausea from candy corn is now turned into morning sickness.
Not many people notice utter milk makes all baby all candy corn. Oh God!
I'm not into breast milk things. Like just any.
It turns
kind
me
of-
on though. Like on TikTok, what? You'll see a woman milking her kid and or getting milk. Her kid gets milk. I don't. Something's milky. And it turns me on a lot. Like, you see a little bit of a nipple, and their boobs are usually filled to the brim.
And there's a baby, like, sucking her nipple, which is what guys do to us. So it's like, it is the same thing. It does it.
It's outside. You're usually, like, in a park. You're where your tits shouldn't be.
Is the milk itself a turn on? Like, the thing coming out of it?
No.
Okay, so so you're just saying something sucking on a tit.
I guess it could be anything. Yeah, I guess it could. Yeah, it could have been anything, a squirrel. Involving
a tit coming out. It's not about the milk.
A tit out in the wild where apparently it shouldn't be. But she's like, you know what? I'm milking. I'm going to do my tits in Walmart.
It's not milking. It's called breastfeeding or pumping.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything wrong with that being a turn on. Are you ever turned on by pregnant women?
A little bit. Yeah. A little bit. I guess because you can't get them pregnant again. No, but
I don't think that's it.
No,
someone
I just
was saying that the other day.
No, like, no, there's something about it. I don't know why.
They're fertile. They're like, and, you know, they're fertile.
Yeah, and it's a healthy look for some. They're like radiating a lot of the time.
There's like a chemical response to pregnancy where women's cheeks get a little redder and their hair gets thicker. They get a little bit more like voluptuous.
Yes. But it's so interesting that would be a turn on when that means that they can't get pregnant with you. Like everything that we're attracted to is because we want to like procreate, and that means that woman is taken by another man, so you're like cuckolded in a way, and you can't get it pregnant. So like, or that girl, you know. So it's interesting that would be a turn on. But I guess the other things, and I wonder why you get super glowy and more attractive when you're pregnant. It's probably because if that didn't happen, this is just my guess as someone who knows nothing. It's so that women that are pregnant won't be cast aside and like shunned by men who could potentially harm them if they weren't fuckable. So it's like protect them while they're pregnant because the men still want them around to fuck.
But if we do everything to procreate, like if that's our drive,
right?
Why do we have condoms and birth control and all that? Which
because our because cognitively, we our monkey brain wants us to procreate, but we, you know, the brain that is also on TikTok all the time and like laughs at, like has our brain that's updated, that part of our brain that's like working in the now, that one doesn't want to get pregnant. But the subconscious, you can't turn off. But the conscious thinking doesn't want to get pregnant, but you're still motivated by the need to get things pregnant. Because if you weren't, you would just come on their stomach with ease. You wouldn't need, or you would just get a hand job or something. There's something about putting a penis in a vagina that is very, you want it for some reason.
It feels good. Like,
right, but so does a hand, or so does a between ass cheeks or like tits or mouth. But there's something about a pussy that you just got to get in there. And I think it's not just about it feels good. I don't think it's just that.
I know, but so many guys I know are so afraid of like, they don't even think of as, they go, oh, you bang without a condom? Aren't you scared you're going to get her pregnant? Like, so many guys, their biggest fear is pregnancy over STD.
Right.
Yeah.
They can't help but their subconscious still wants to
put it in raw dog.
Yeah, to get it. You're drawn to it because your whole, all your DNA, which has nothing to do with what you're thinking, is begging you to put cum into women. And that's why you get distracted by billboards that have sexy women on them. Like you're like, oh, that's something I want to fuck. It's not because you're like, she's pretty. Like the she's pretty is your brain now, but like you just think it's, oh, she's hot. But really deep down, it's, I want to fuck that.
And have a baby.
And I want to get that. I want to put semen in that to get it pregnant. I want more of me. I want my DNA to keep going.
Surprised there's not more cum on billboards, but then you'd have to climb up the
whole ladder.
Oh my
God, did you see the billboard I took a picture of the other day on my story or Instagram story? It's the new I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Oh yeah, yeah, I saw.
There was cum all over everyone on it. There's just this goo. There's slime that's like, it's like period blood cum. Because it's like tinted pink.
Yeah.
But it's cum. It's crazy looking. That was really disturbing. It's so funny. No one knows I'm in LA until I post one thing on my story. And then all my LA friends are like, you're here? And I'm like, God, it's just because I had to make a cum comment. A comment. And now I feel like I'm, you know, being antisocial if I don't hang with anyone, but it's so hard to fit in hangs. There's something about just being in a hotel room and being alone that I just want to just be, I just don't want to do anything. All right, let's take a quick break and come back with Reddit Doc.
This is Bless These Braces. My name is Tam. I'm a writer and a comedian. When I was a teenager, I had a bat mitzvah and a quinceañera. Now, I'm talking to my favorite writers, actors, and comedians about their coming-of-age ceremonies as we remember what it felt like to supposedly become an adult.
I mean, it is a lot of boner-related stuff.
All I wanted was to be popular and cool, and I wasn't at all.
It was just like there was so much happening in my body.
My bar mitzvah, they did it at a deli.
This is Bless These Braces.
Listen to Bless These Braces from Funny or Die on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turned sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know what. God, if you show me, God, if you tell me, God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...with zero qualifications...
She had a Harvard plaque.
...tricks her way past a wall of lawyers and agents.
She's got all of these Maseratis and Bentleys all in the driveway.
Is it like a mansion?
Yes, it's a mansion. ...that this queen of the con uses to scam some of the biggest names in professional sports out of untold fortunes.
About $6 million.
Approximately $11 million.
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
Employing whatever means necessary to bleed her victims dry.
She would probably have sex with one of her clients.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Karaoke mode.
This is your Reddit dump.
All right, it's Tuesday. That means we're going to clear out all of my saved posts on Reddit, where I go every single night before I go to bed, and I save things that I think you guys would like. This one I saved last night, and I alluded to it today at the top of the show. This is the song that an Italian man made to because he was so annoyed with Italians loving any song that was just American English-speaking person, even though they don't speak English. So he decided to make up a fake English-speaking song that is gibberish English, and it went to number one immediately, despite not meaning anything. So here's the song, and it actually...
Was this guy famous before he put out this song?
I don't really know the history of it, but this song put him on the map. You can't make any of the words out. It's
amazing.
It feels
very like David Hasselhoff would have sang that. That's how it feels.
It's such a good song, and it's called, what is it called? It's called Prison Colin and Siniculo Soul. The artist is Adriano Celentano, C-E-L-E-N-T-A-N-O. Hold on, I think this might be a louder one.
This is interesting. How far Europe is ahead of us in regards to, like, history. But God, did we jump them in music so quick. Zoot Suit Riot.
You gotta watch this. Just Adriana Celentano. And it's actually a good song. It's really fun to listen to. Okay, let's get to the next thing.
Is it a hot guy?
No, he's like an old man, kind of.
Interesting.
It's really good. Okay. Stop playing. Okay. This was from Ask Reddit. It said, people who fuck good, what's your secret? And it reminded me of you, Andrew.
Yeah.
When you say on stage, I don't fuck good.
So
someone said, learn what you genuinely enjoy and find partners who enjoy having that done to them. When the puzzle pieces are just right, you always bat 1,000 in the box. Enthusiasm can't be faked, and it's such a good feeling knowing you are desired to the maximum. I think that's pretty much it. Find out what you like doing or giving and what you like receiving, and find someone who likes giving that. It's like love languages. I think that's when you fuck good. Be teachable. Listen. Don't be self-interested, and communicate. Someone said, I used to fuck for good. Now I fuck for evil. That's just a funny Jesus. Redditor. Someone said, take pride in your work and love what you do. What do you think makes someone fuck good?
I think communication's the best part. And I think doing it outside the bedroom, talking about it before you're in the middle of everything, can really help, I think.
Yeah, finding someone. That's why I kind of like being able to talk so frankly about sex, because people that I'm, you know, I generally know someone before I start a sexual relationship with them. I know them in a way that isn't a sexual way. And so at least, like, usually they're people that I'm, like, working with or friends with. And I'm so, usually a lot of my work entails talking about sex. So it's easy to find the people that go, oh yeah, I'm into that too. And I'm like, oh great. Okay. Noted that they like that too. And so you can kind of find that. But I think most people, when they're dating, do not.
Oh, you'll
talk
throw
about
it
like,
out there to someone before they even know you like them. So just to kind of feel out their sexual drive.
Well, I don't even know. Sometimes it gets me thinking about someone in that way, because I'll be just talking about sex in general with, you know, a group of people or whatever, a situation. And there might be someone that I'm interested in. But if I say something, if I get the conversation going about talking about sex frankly, hearing what they're into and seeing at how it aligns with what I'm into, even before sex is on the table for us, or even that can be. Why don't we start there? So many times we start with, like, am I attracted to them? Which, by the way, is starting with sex anyway. Like, that's a sexual thing to be, like, into looks. Like, when we're on these apps, but, like, saying what you like sexually in an app without the expectation that you have to do that thing might lead to better compatibility, you know? Like,
what if you found out? My only thought is though is like if you find out just through like a quick conversation that they aren't into what you're into, or at least you assume that, then it could kind of get in the way of you maybe pursuing them based off of that.
I think it should. You know, I've said certain things and people are like, ugh, not into anal.
Yeah.
Don't want it. And it's just like, okay, I don't want to be with someone who won't do that to me. Or I'm going to, or they have to be okay with me getting that somewhere else, or like they need, or they need to be open to it. I understand being like, I've never done it. And it's just like, ugh. But
yeah, you can kind of get a reaction from someone if they're going to be like chill with stuff for sure. Like,
yeah.
Like if someone's like, whoa, man, whoa. It's like, ugh. Like,
I've heard a lot, though.
Oh, did you see the latest Curb?
No.
Oh.
I need to, though. I love that Reed guy.
There's a new episode out. And, yeah. Larry is dating, what's her name? She's the Asian actress. I don't mean for it to come full circle.
Sandra Oh?
No.
Lucy Liu. Okay.
And Larry, they're on their second date. They're about to get it on, and Larry walks into a glass door.
Falls. Embarrassing.
She won't fuck him after that. She just doesn't find him attractive anymore. And it just,
yes,
it just makes me think of like these little things that like can just end it.
Yeah. I love that she was like, I can't, because a lot of times I think girls would just go through with it, even though they're like, oh boy. And listen, girls do the same stuff. Like, we've done things, I'm sure, that guys are just like, ooh, that took me out of it. That thing she said, that thing she did.
Oh, but that's, it sucks really that one thing can do it. It just, it sucks. Then you have to, like, be on your toes all the time. I don't know. It was really funny.
That is funny. But I think the same thing for guys, though. Guys can get unattracted quickly for the dumbest thing. You see a piece of ankle hair, and you're suddenly repulsed, you know? Well,
just, you know. I think that was the old me, but I think now it's four hairs, but you know, I've changed a lot, but I get it. Yeah. Things definitely have taken me out for sure. It just sucks that like 100 things can go right. And then it's like, you run into a glass door and it's just like, you're old. And like, she like looked at him as like, he's decrepit. Like he just aged. And I sometimes fear that
bumbling thing. Like they're just you like a guy who's confident and like knows what he's doing, and you see a guy fall and like slam it. It's just like, it just.
Sometimes I'm afraid with Brenna is like one day she's going to go, oh, you're like old. I'm going to eat like bran muffins instead of like, you know, a sausage sandwich or something. And she's going to be like, oh, you're eating like, oh, you have to eat brand.
Suddenly it's just going to like dawn on her how old you are. Like suddenly she's going to learn. She's going to take that math class that really makes it. She's going to she's going to figure out the number is 16 is the years you guys are different. Yeah, that would be such a fear of mine, of seeming old someday, of just like, when is it going to click? Like right now it's okay. Like you're not old yet. You're 41. But like when she's 41, you're 57. Yeah.
Yes.
That seems actually okay.
Yeah, it does actually. The older she gets, I think the less it will seem weird. But I do feel like I tend to not wear like old man clothes, you know,
right.
Like if I wore khakis and a button down and comb my hair with a part where you can see a receding hairline. Yeah, I think then I would.
But the thing about fucking good, and I feel like there have been times where the sex, like I'm not into someone physically, or, you know, the kiss was off or something. And I've heard my friends say like, that you can fix, Nikki, you know, emotional intelligence and like someone's anger or jealousy issues, like that stuff, you seem to like want to take on that shape. Like, oh, I can change that. But like when someone's like, you know, is not sexually compatible right away, you just go, no, not going to work. But, and what is that? And I do believe that, like, I am so scared, I think, of making men feel insecure in bed and being a little bit too masculine energy of like, do this, do that. And I have put up with so much in bed that I didn't enjoy because I just don't want to hurt a guy's feelings and like want them to feel like, okay, it's not terrible what he's doing, but it's certainly not what would work right now for me the best. And I do know what that would be, but I don't want to, be a backseat driver for my own puss. What do you feel about that? Would you prefer, if you're doing something to a girl and she knows an easy way to make it better, which is you leave and she uses her vibrator. What would you prefer her to say? Cause I prefer
a 1,000,000%. And I think a lot of guys would be way more open to it than you probably even think. They're just doing what they think works. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's not like, I'm sticking to this. This is my plan for me to come. It's like, oh, no. Oh, you want me to fuck you harder and put my thumb in your butt? Okay, cool. But I didn't know you were into that.
Like, if you say it too much, it becomes annoying because I can just give directions all day long. And I mean, that's sure. The thing. It's like, I can't. Then I'm just going to do it alone. And sometimes I'm just like, maybe I will, you know, like, I don't know.
What's your example? Like, okay, let's say a guy's having sex with you ever so gently or whatever you don't like.
Yeah, like going down on me too, like just like being like gentle when they're going, like just not using any pressure.
Okay,
like,
so
kind
what
of,
would
like,
your
looking...
directions be? Like if you were a GPS, like how can you do it in a way that might not seem annoying to the guy or maybe like seem like encouraging and not like you're doing it wrong?
Suck my clit.
Okay, that works. That's not that directional. Like, that's not that, hey, can you suck my clit more? That'd be dope.
Yeah, but then they do that and it's not hard. And then I go harder and then they like can't. And then it's just like, oh, God. All right. Well, then now I have to give some kind of positive reinforcement because they're at least trying. And then it feels like when they try and they still fail, that's why I don't like to give direction is because when they try and they still fail, I can't be honest and go, no, just, you know what? Just forget about it. You know, you're supposed to say, just forget it. Final thought.
Just kidding. I think you go suck that clit as hard as you can. And if they don't get there, you don't have to tell them that they didn't get there. But I think at least then you know rather than, wouldn't you rather know?
I feel like I just know, I don't mean to be like,
oh, you know before you even tell them?
I just know. Like, I know just by the way we kiss, like, if this person and I are going to be sexually compatible.
But you didn't think, like, when we raced in the 40-yard dash that I would be so fast, right? Until you saw how fast I was. So maybe that's the same thing with clit sucking.
I don't know. I just don't know that I've ever been able to get it up for someone that I don't have it up for.
Can I ask a question? Do you think if a guy kisses too softly or like without enough tongue or whatever, then that will put in your brain that he won't eat vagina?
Like softly and too much tongue? Yeah, it makes me think that they're probably going to kiss me down there like that.
That's what I'm asking. Like, does a woman think... Yeah. How a man kisses is the way. It's the same thing. How a man dances is the way he'll make love. But I think there's probably a lot of great dancers that make up for probably being shitty in bed.
Yes.
Or maybe. But
no, I don't really think about pussy eating when I'm like kissing someone. It just is the overall vibe of like sex. Like I just like a little bit more of a passionate like and not like so much tongue right away. It leads me to believe like they're going to be the kind of person that just like tries to fuck you right away and isn't into like... I don't know. It takes a lot. Anyone who's listening to this and thinking about kissing me someday is probably just like, oh my God, the pressure. Like, I got to learn how to exert pressure. Yeah, just grab my neck a little bit. Just grab my neck a little bit. That's all I'm saying. Okay, one more thing. There is this meme that was circulating that I found out on Reddit, Holup, HOLUP. And it's just like, when... It's just things that you are watching, and then at the very end, you're just like, well, wait, huh, what? And this was a picture of a guy talking to his girlfriend on a flight, and the girl's crying. He's, like, consoling her. This guy, the guy taking the picture is, across the aisle from them, and he's just taking a picture. And he goes, this guy on my flight just told his girlfriend he wouldn't date her if she was a worm, and she is crying.
A worm?
Yeah.
What is it?
It's just like one of those things that girls do of like, would you date me if I was a worm? And the guy was like, no. And she's like, what? It just made me laugh as like one of those tests girls give guys.
I do love a test when like, or like sometimes like Brennan will say something and I'll reaffirm what she says.
Yeah.
And she goes, well, why are you agreeing to that? And I'm like, well, you, I'm just backing you up here. Like,
does she's that... testing you to see if you like will just agree with her blindly?
No, it's more like, oh, I'm not good at this. I was like, yeah, it's not really your thing, probably. And she's like, wait, no,
ooh,
I'm not.
But yeah,
like something like that, but not
well,
like.
Well, we all do things like that. Like, do I look fat in this? Like, you know, you're looking for someone to say that I don't do that anymore.
What is the answer to that, when a girl does that?
When you go, I'm just not good at things, and when you shit
on
yourself.
No, the fat thing especially, because I think that's a thing.
You're
that comes
crazy.
Up a lot.
You're seriously, you have body dysmorphia. What you are seeing is not what I'm seeing. But also, be honest. If she does look fat in it, say, I just think it's you look better in a different, like, you don't have to lie. Just say that outfit is telling you lies. Try something else, because that you are not fat and that outfit is just not doing you well.
Fast forward to 40 outfits on the bed. I'd be like, no, this
yeah,
one.
Not that one either.
This one.
That garbage bag. Who knows what's underneath that? And that one, that's the one to go with.
That's it.
Okay, and then this is one last thing. This is from Reddit, the subreddit, Cool Guides. Just like cool, like little tips. And this says, this is about two different snakes that look very similar. They're both snakes that are like red, yellow, and black striped. I think we've all seen those kinds of snakes. And this is a little mnemonic device to let you know which one you can fuck with and which one you shouldn't. So the eastern coral snake is venomous. And it says, and its lines are, it says, red touch yellow kills a fellow. Red touch black, friend of Jack. So if the red and the black touch, you can touch that snake. But if the red and the yellow touch, it kills a fellow. I just hated
just
this
say,
because just don't touch any snakes.
No, just, well, yes. But also, yellow is the common denominator. What
no,
is
no,
red?
No, no, no. They all have yellow, black, and red. So okay. Look at these snakes. They both look very similar.
Oh, my
so
God.
The
that's,
top,
yeah.
The top Who's... one is red touch yellow, kill a fellow. And the second, the bottom one, the red and the yellow do not touch. They're separated by black. And that is, wait, a friend of Jack. So that means you can touch it. I have seen this 14 times, said it in my head a
still
number of times,
know.
And still today wouldn't know if the snake came in what to fucking do. And I would not remember a little cutesy mnemonic device. I would just say, like, lefty loosey, righty tighty, and then scream and get bit.
Yeah, and then your neck will stop hurting.
All right, thank you guys for listening to the podcast. Just kidding. I'll be back tomorrow in St. Louis with Noah and Andrew live
show.
In and we have a live show tomorrow.
Live.
In St. Louis, Missouri. Thank you so much to everyone who's coming out to that. Can't wait to see you. But we will also see you on the podcast tomorrow in person. I'm taking the red eye out tonight after my taping. So see you then. Don't be cut and jackalope.
Jackie Chan.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off. Starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
This is Bless These Braces.
My name is Tam. I'm a writer and a comedian. When I was a teenager, I had a bat mitzvah and a quinceañera. Now, I'm talking to my favorite writers, actors, and comedians about their coming-of-age ceremonies as we remember what it felt like to supposedly become an adult.
I mean, there's a lot of boner-related stuff.
All I wanted was to be popular and cool, and I wasn't at all.
It was just like there was so much happening in my body.
My bar mitzvah, they did it at a deli.
This is Bless These Braces.
Listen to Bless These Braces from Funny or Die on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.